Blog Talk Radio.
She turned it off.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Just because he's God, just because he is who he says he is, he does what he says he's going to do. Hallelujah. And we just praise God for being here this morning and being able to awaken this morning. We know it's not because of the alarm clock. It's not because of our spouses waking us up, but it's because of the goodness of God and all that he's done for us. Hallelujah. I just praise God for this day and thanking God for all of the many blessings that he has blessed us with on this week. So many ups and downs, valleys and mountaintop experiences that we've had this week. We just praise God for being a sustainer, one that has allowed us to be able to get up this morning and give him the praise and give him the honor and give him the glory. Hallelujah. We don't take for granted what God has done for us and what he's doing for us. And we just praise God for this day. And we are here having a new problems with connectivity, and I guess our guest today is having a problem also because we don't see him on the line, but we just praise God, and we're here nonetheless to give God the glory and the honor is due his name, because you know he is just so awesome and so great in our lives. And we go through things and we wonder how, you know, other people that don't have him in their lives make it, you know, because some of the things that we go through could very well cause us to have a nervous breakdown, cause us to lose heart, cause us to want to, you know, do something to somebody, as they say, put your hands on somebody but God. Hallelujah. So we just praise God, and we've been having problems with the phone service. So I'm going to ask my husband, he's going to share, he thought I was able to get on, he's going to share a line this morning and let him say good morning to you and let him.
Good morning, good morning, and God bless you. Just thanking God for today and thanking him just for all of his goodness, his faithfulness. And we just want to look to the Lord because, as my wife has said, we are having some severe technical difficulties. But we just know that God is able. The devil is busy, but the Bible lets us know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And there's no weapon that's formed against us that can prosper. So in the name of Jesus, we just look to you right now, oh Father, thanking you for this day, thanking you for goodness, mercy, faithfulness. We thank you for our salvation. Because, Lord God, nobody could do it but you. The life that we have, the breath that we breathe, the very hairs on our head, Lord God, is because of you and your care for us. And you are just so concerned, and we thank you. We look to you right now to say thank you for this another day that you have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray that you will just move by your Spirit, even in the midst of the turmoil of what's going on and the equipment and the phone lines today. But we know that someone is still going to hear this word, and it will be blessed, a blessing to them, because we know that whatever you do, whatever word you send out, it shall not come back void. So in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this. We thank you, Lord God, for the broadcast, this venue. We pray for our sponsor, our overall host, Evangelist Bernard. Just bless her, Lord God. Guide her. Grant every need, Lord God. And even as she is back in her home, Lord, just direct her into the things that you have for her to do for that great city. In the name of Jesus, let those who you have ordained hear these words today and let them be life. Let them be a blessing. Let them be just what they need. In Jesus' name, we pray, we thank you, and we say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, honey. Like I said, we're here. We're here in Jesus' name. We don't know what's going on, but we're just here to give God the glory. And I just want to give this testimony up. My husband and I are, this is not the testimony, but my husband and I are ministering over at a assisted living facility, and we were just so warmly welcomed by the residents. They're excited. We're excited. God is doing some things over there, and we're looking for him to do some great, great things. And it is our prayer that the residents will, those that are able to, those that are healthy enough to be able to go home, and that new residents will come in that will be able to hear the gospel and go out and be a witness to the miraculous works of God. And the testimony is one of the residents, Brother Willard, who has been blind for, well, since 2004. He had no sight. He couldn't see anything. We've been praying over there and praying for them daily. And we last Sunday when we were there, Brother Willard had this testimony that he was coming home from a doctor's appointment, and he happened to just look toward the window. And when he looked toward the window, he said he could just see all this green. And anyone that knows about North Carolina knows that there is a lot of greenery here, a lot of foliage. It's beautiful trees and beautiful bushes and beautiful flowers and all kind of fruit trees and nut trees and everything. So he said that he was driving him back. And when he looked and saw all this green, he realized at that point that he was seeing. He had not been seeing since 2004. And he said that he, it came to him and he said, I haven't been able to see this before. And so when we went last Sunday to the facility, he gave us a testimony, and one of the other residents said, Brother Willard wants to tell you something. And so when I went over to him and I said, you want to share something with me? And he said, yes, I can see you. Hallelujah. And he just started praising God. Hallelujah. He was able to see, and we're praying that his total vision comes back. Hallelujah. That he will be able to leave the facility and go home and live the rest of his days at home with his family. But we just bless God for what he is doing. Like I said, they're excited. We're excited about the things that God is doing. They're excited about us being there and sharing the gospel with them. And we just solicit your prayers to pray for us as we do the will of God, as we go out. We're at a place now where are not able to, people are not coming to church like they used to do. But the Bible says that we should go out and compel men. Hallelujah. So that's what we're endeavoring to do. So, yeah, we're just praising God for that testimony of Brother Willard not having his sight since 2004. And 10 years later, he's able to see. So we bless God. And we want to thank God. There have been multiple births, healthy births this week. Sister Donna from Chicago, my home church, the Apostolic Pentecostal Church of Morgan Park, she delivered a healthy baby girl. And we just want to bless God for, that delivery and how God brought her safely through. She was not concerned, but she was a little distraught because she said that she was used to her delivery or her babies coming early, and this one was not coming early, so she was a little distraught. And you know how it is. Some of us know how it is when we've carried a baby, and then we're ready for the baby to come, and the baby doesn't come when we want it to come. And so kind of, gets us. So we thank God for that safe delivery of Sister Donna. We thank God for, just blessing her. There are a lot of women that go into labor. We don't want to take anything for granted. There are a lot of women that go into labor and they don't make it. The babies don't make it. So we don't take anything for granted. We just praising God for the safe delivery of that sister. And we just bless God and bless him and thank him. And honey, I don't see you on. Have you been able to get on? Amen, amen, amen. Well, we just thank God for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I don't care what happens. I don't care how the enemy tries to discourage us. We want to go on in the name of the Lord. We're just going to praise him and give him thanks for all that he's doing and all that his loving care, loving care for us. So we just bless God, and we're going to play a song and try to get the system to function for us. So we're going to play a song by Pastor Marvin Sapp, and its name, You Favored Me. Thank you.
Jesus, you are the Lord. And they're so anxious to hear what they have to say. And it was actually about a year ago that they gave this testimony. And I invited them back because, not because the testimony would be so new, but I did not get a chance to hear it, but some were able to hear it. And I posted it on Facebook yesterday. I got a lot of likes, and I hope that people will tune in so that they can hear just what God is doing in the lives of his people. I mean, God is doing some awesome things. And are you there, Stephen Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning. How
good
are you
morning.
How are you this morning?
Fantastic.
Great.
How are you?
I am good. I'm doing good. We just got a late start this morning, so we were on the line a little earlier, but I see that you guys were on, and I'm just so thankful to you for coming on and sharing your testimony again. It's so vitally important that people know what God is doing. And as I posted, seemingly an impossible situation, one that many have gone through and have not recovered the way that you two have. And I'm just thanking God for you coming on and giving the testimony and letting the people of God know that we serve a God that is faithful. Hallelujah. He's faithful to us, that he loves us. And, you know, there's nothing that is too hard for him. Sandra Riley, she says nothing. There's nothing too hard for God. And so nothing. And so I would back with that saying, nothing too hard for God. So we just want to give you a chance to just tell us that I was looking at what I looked at. Michelle has posted, she and Steve have posted their testimony on YouTube. So you're going to give us the information. I mean, you're here today, but if you want to share it, you always can go into our archives, or you can go to YouTube, and we're going to ask them to give that information. To share this awesome testimony of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love for us. So give us that information, and we're just going to talk a little before we get started. But as I was saying, I noticed it was just almost a year ago, I think it was like the 14th or something, of last year, of June, that you gave this very testimony, that you gave this testimony. And here we are, so excited. I am so excited. For next weekend. I know I'm not as excited as you guys are, but for next weekend, tell them, the audience, what is happening next weekend.
Next weekend, we are having a wedding ceremony, and we are renewing our vows.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. That is so exciting. It just hurts my heart when I hear about the saints, and it doesn't even have to be somebody that I know, but especially those that I know, and they, you know, go through a divorce or go through a separation. It just hurts my heart because I know that, you know, God doesn't want us to divorce, and that sometimes, you know, due to circumstances, we do divorce, but to hear God's faithfulness, to hear God, you know, bringing a relationship back together is just mind blowing. It's mind blowing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're right. You're so right.
Shut up.
Yes. So we're going to give you a chance to give your testimony. and talk about the YouTube channel. They can subscribe to your channel. And Michelle, I'm not sure about Steve. I know that they're both musicians, but Michelle is also a minister. She ministers the word of God. And so, Michelle, I'm not going to talk for you. I'm going to let you know you're well able to talk for yourself.
Okay, we have a channel on YouTube. It's called Infinite Praise Records. And on that channel is where we have our testimony. It's called Marriage, Separation, Divorce, and Reconciliation. Stephen and Michelle's testimony.
I listened to it. It's very lengthy, but it was such a blessing to hear all the stuff I was sharing with Michelle that I didn't start listening to it until late. And listened to the whole thing and was laughing, you know, because I'm on there too and laughing at myself. And I told Michelle, I said, ooh, I did a lot of talking. I'm not going to do that to her. I'm going to let you all talk and give your testimony and tell about the wonderful, wonderful things that God is doing in your life. Babe, did you want to say something?
Just good morning and God bless you. Thank you for being on our show this morning. And just excited to hear the story, and even though I know part of it, just excited because of who you are, just some very special, precious people of God. I remember back in, I think, February when I saw Brother Steve. I was just so excited and happy to see him and his boys out at the Super Bowl party. And you guys just have always been special to us. Love you, and just looking forward to fellowshipping with you even on next week. And just God bless you, and thank you for letting God just move upon both of you, because your story is going to be mighty in the kingdom, because the church needs the experience of what you guys have been through, because the church goes through that seemingly more than the rest of the world. But there's nothing, as my wife says, no thing is too hard for God. Even when you think you've gone over the edge, God can bring you back. And we're just excited to hear from you today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, yes.
It's definitely our pleasure.
Okay, well, you can let us hear what God is doing in your life and give God the glory, and you know, I know that you will.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said you can go ahead.
Oh,
with your
okay.
Testimony.
Okay, well, we're very, very excited about what God is doing. I mean, it's an awesome, awesome situation that God brought back from the dead, so to speak. I thank God because I'll tell a little bit, I'll go back and start from the beginning where Steve and I first married. And I thank God that through our marriage we had four children, and we got married in 1988, and we stayed married from 1988 to 2011, and in 2011 we divorced, and I was the one that divorced Steve. And after that, after we divorced, we started living separate lives. I mean, I was doing my thing, and Steve was doing his thing. She was not in North Carolina anymore. he was relocated to New York. And as we were, you know, this is 2011, we felt that it was over permanently. There was no, I mean, I didn't feel like that I would be back with Steve ever again. And Steve didn't know that he was going to be back with me ever again. So I actually, we would still communicate, though. We would still talk, and we had a good relationship. And he would talk with the kids, and he would call, check on us and stuff like that. And I would call to check on him. And every year, 2000, because we were separated from 2010. And we divorced in 2011. So in 2010, we would go up to New York every summer for his birthday, because his birthday is in August. And I told the kids that even though we're not together, I know that he still loves his family. So what I was going to do, what I did, we planned a trip every year. And we visited Steve the week of his birthday. And we did it 2010, we did it 2011, even though we got divorced in 2011, in May of 2011, we visited Steve in August of 2011. And we went, and we visited Steve in 2012 for his birthday. So we still had communication, but after going up there for 3 years and Steve did not, he hadn't come back down south, I said to him, I said, okay, we went up to you 3 times. I took the kids up to visit you 3 years in a row. I said, it's time for you to come down south. And then I said to him, I said, and plus, the children are at the age where I don't have to go with them because they're in their 20s. I don't have to go with them up to New York to visit you. So the next time they come to visit you, I probably will not be with them. So as the year was going on in 2012, I asked Steve, would he come to visit the kids for Christmas? And Steve agreed that he would come to visit the children Christmas of 2012. Now, the interesting thing is that in 2012, ever since we separated, I was talking with the Lord about our situation, because even though, you know, I was emotionally distraught and, you know, we had ended up in divorce, I still wanted to get God's direction, because being a single person, you don't want to just start accumulating phone numbers and all like that. You want to be with who God wants you to be with. Because if you don't, the Bible says in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Even as a single woman, I didn't want to start dating this guy and dating that guy and going out with this guy and going out with that. I didn't want that, because I wanted to be with who God wanted me to be with. So I went to the Lord about it in the beginning of 2012, and I said, God, I want to know who you have for me, because at that point, in 2012, Steve was already in another relationship. He was seeing somebody else. He was already, we didn't know that we were ever getting back together, so Steve moved on. And that was fine with me. I mean, that was fine with me. So when I was praying in 2012, I was just asking God, Lord, who do you have for me? I want to know who is my husband. And I had to ask God, I requested, I said, Lord, whoever you have for me, whoever it is that is supposed to be my husband, I would love to see them by the end of 2012. I want to know who that person is that I'm supposed to join up with, and we're supposed to do the things of the Lord with, and all like that. I want to know who that person is. So the year 2012, the only person that I saw was Steve. And it kind of blew my mind, because I was like, okay, now I'm going to ask God about my husband. And even when Steve came down for that Christmas, and I was, you know, you go through the motions, but you're inwardly bugging out. Like, and I'm saying to myself, okay, God, I know what I prayed. I know the request that I had before you, and it was for this year, and I wanted to see my husband by the end of the year. And while, you know, he came down for like 6 days, and while he was down here, I was going crazy within me. I was like, okay, is God telling me that this is my husband? I couldn't understand it. So then I even said to Steve, even though I knew he was coming, I knew that he said he was going to come, and I can't ask him to come down for the kids' sake. I said to him, I said, I don't understand why you're here. And it wasn't that I didn't understand what was going on, like he was visiting his kids. Spiritually, I said, I don't know why you're here. And after Steve left, I mean, while Steve was here, something happened to me. There was this flood of emotions that I had never experienced in my entire life. Like all of these things, and as I looked at Steve, it's not that I had like a sexual desire to be with him. It was that there was so much. I felt so much compassion for him, and I looked at him, and I was like, "This is a guy that I used to, you know, we used to do everything together," and all of these emotions started flooding, and I hadn't felt them emotions since 2009. So for it to happen in 2012, by the end of the year, I was like, okay, something is going on. What is going on? So we had a wonderful time. Steve, I mean, he came out for Christmas. He had wads of money. He was cheating on his family. He was buying the kids stuff and was just loving on his kids, you know. And even, I mean, he was so kind to me. He said, Michelle, he said, I want to, you know, treat you too. I want to get you some things too. And I said, Steve, you really don't have to do it because you don't owe me that. You know, I'm just happy that you're doing for the kids, you know. And he said, no, let's go out. I want to take you shopping. So he took me shopping. He got my nails done. He got my hair done. He bought me some nice boots. He bought me some. So he really, you know, I mean, I felt good about that. You know, he made me feel like really special. But it made stuff worse because I'm like, this is just, it just burned me out. And he didn't know the inward battle that I was going through. And when Steve went home, he went home December 30th. And when he got on the plane, because I took him to the airport, we all took him to the airport. When he got on the plane, man, me and Jesus had it out. Not out, but me and Jesus, we went into serious, deep conversation I was like, I did not understand. I was like, God, what is going on? Lord, what happened to me? Lord, what is it? Why am I feeling this way? Now, while I was praying about what was going on, the relationship had not changed. Still, Steve was still with someone else. When God started ministering to me, then in January of 2013, February of 2013, and God started ministering to me about covenant. God started ministering to me about the role of a wife and how a role of the wife is to be submissive to their husband and how there are things that throughout the relationship that I misunderstood, and there were things that I expected, reactions I expected to get from Steve while we were in marriage that I didn't receive the way I expected it to be received because Steve is not a woman, and I'm thinking like a woman. So I'm judging his reactions like a woman reacts, and I'm like, if it was me, I would do it. But Steve is not me. Steve is a man, and Steve acts like a man. So there's a lot of things that, marriage, yeah, there might be people who can say, well, this is how you're supposed to act in marriage, but until you're in the actual marriage, until you're dealing with your spouse, you don't know how things are going to be. The only one that you can rely on is God. Yes, it's true. There are others who can give advice, Well, they don't know everything because they're not dealing with the person that you're dealing with. And the person that that you're married to is dealing with you. So you don't, no one else can give you the exact thing how you should act in every single situation except God. So when God started ministering, hello?
I'm here, Ms. Wright.
Oh, okay. Okay, so when God started really bringing it home, he started ministering. I was shut up in my apartment, I would say, for maybe about 3 months, just talking with God and just getting myself right. Because as God started ministering to me from January to like March, he started showing me Michelle, and he started, because that's what God will do. He would take a spotlight that you wanted to put on your spouse, that you want him to get your spouse right and get his act together, and you ain't taking him until he's right, and you ain't doing this until he's right. God will turn that spotlight right on you and say, okay, since you want all that from your spouse, let's get you right. And God started ministering to me about Michelle. And when he started ministering to me, I felt so convicted. I felt so humbled. And I called Steve one day because God led me on YouTube to listen to look at T.D. Jakes' Emotion. That's an awesome video for any wife that don't understand their husband. Y'all need to hear Emotions by T.D. Jakes. And that thing ministered to me to the point I was sobbing. I was sobbing because there's so many things that I did not understand. And T.D. Jakes God used this man to explain men. And I called Steve. And Steve can tell you, I was crying and crying and crying on the phone. I wasn't crying to take me back because I didn't know if that was going to ever happen. And when I called Steve, I wasn't there yet. So when I called Steve, I just apologized. Marriage, and I asked him to forgive me for, certain things, the way that I kept telling him, I said, I did not understand you. I did not understand who you were as a man. I didn't understand. I didn't have a male figure in my life that sat me down and explained to me about what, Michelle, this is how men react, and this is how men, I didn't have that. So I didn't understand. So when I finished apologizing and crying and snot all over the phone and catching my breath and all like that, Steve was like, Michelle, it's okay. I forgive you. It's not a problem. I forgive you. And then after we hung up for that conversation, life went on. He was in his own life, doing his own thing. I was in mine. But I had to get that forgiveness because if I never saw him again, I couldn't still walk around after God gave me the revelation without apologizing to this man. And I know there's probably some wives that owe their husbands apologies, as well as some husbands that owe their wives apologies, but their pride and the ego won't allow them to give it to them. And God said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Then it says to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So if you want somebody to go to you and ask you to forgive them for something you've done wrong, God is expecting us to go back to our spouse and ask for forgiveness for things that we have done wrong. And we know when we've done stuff wrong, maybe not at the time, but God is too just and too divine for us to go through our entire life and he never show us ourselves. So anyway, so we, that's another whole story. Okay, so we went through 2013, right? So this is when God started ministering to me. And by March 2013, our God had really done a job on me. And the relationship that Steve and I had is that if God told me something, it was okay for me to share it with him, because it wasn't like he was just, I don't know what you got to say. He didn't tell me what he didn't talk to me like that. So if I would tell him, Steve, I got to share something with you that God told me, he would tell me, okay, let's hear it. So when I told him what God was telling me, when I told him what God was saying about how we're still in covenant and that the Bible says that if we divorce, that we're supposed to be reconciled or remain unmarried, which is if anyone else comes into the picture, then that's an adulterous relationship. And that he's still my husband, and that as long as he's with someone else, that's not God's will. So I started telling her, I said, so since God revealed to me that you're still my husband, I have to treat you like you're my husband. So I'm going to start praying that whatever situation you're in, because that is my job to intercede for my husband. I said, I'm going to start praying because you're not supposed to be with anyone else. You're supposed to be with me. And Steve was saying, I told you that I was trying to tell you that before, but you didn't want to listen. I was trying to say, so I said, okay. I said, because I wasn't there yet. You know what I mean? I wasn't there. I was hurt. And when we're hurt, we do make decisions through hurt. And God knew at that time we needed to be separated, because what God wanted to do through me, he needed to have me by myself. Because God said all things work together for good, to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. But what I want to say is that God knew he wanted to have me by myself, but God also knew that if I was by myself, I would still be faithful to God. Because there are some people that say, God, I'm going to need some time alone. But they know good and well, if they get time alone, they're not going to be faithful to God. So God is not going to, okay, I'm not going to, okay. So anyway, so,
let the Lord use you.
Because God knows that if some people are by themselves, they're going to get into sexual relationships. They're not going to be faithful to God. They're not going to honor God with their decisions. So what to be by themselves is not, saying that you want to be by yourself to get your act together is one thing, but God looks at the heart. And God allowed us to separate because God knew that when we separated, I was going to be in God's face, seeking God, fasting and praying about God's direction. And I was going to seek God about the next person I was going to date, the next person I was going to see. And my kids could be witnesses. I saw no one for 3 years. No one. Not one man picked me up. Not one man called my house because I was seeking God for 3 years till I heard from the Lord. And it wasn't like I couldn't get nobody, because trust me, they were asking for my phone number. They wanted to know because they took me out, but I wasn't, no, I don't need no nonsense. So, I wouldn't hear what God had to say, because anyone else that was going to be around my children was going to be the one that God has for me. Okay, so when I started telling Steve this, and it was in March, by March, Steve was consenting that, you know what, Michelle, what you're saying, you know, is true. And we even a couple of times, we joined in prayer that the will of the Lord would be done with us. And this is while Steve was in his other relationship. We prayed. Steve went on a fast because he wanted to hear from God on what God would, how God could direct him. Because we prayed that God would give him direction on, you know, how to do whatever he needed to be done to do the right thing. And when it came to April, I said to Steve, for Mother's Day, I said, I'm the mother of your children. So if you should honor anyone for Mother's Day, it should be me. So what I want for Mother's Day, I don't want no shoes, I don't want no flowers, because that's usually what I want for Mother's Day, because like, I like you know, nice pre-shoot. So when I would tell him, when he would actually, you know, when we were together, he would ask me, what you want for? I said, just take me to the shoe store. I want to see some shoes. So he would take me there. Well, okay. So then when I told him that in 2013, I said, I want you to come down here and be with your family for Mother's Day. I want you to cook me a meal for Mother's Day. I want to be with you Father's Day. And he said, okay. And he made whatever arrangements he had to make to come down here for Mother's Day. And I picked him up at the airport, and he spent Mother's Day with us. And when the holiday was over, Steve went back to New York. And maybe about a week later, Steve called me, and he told me that the relationship was over, and he's coming home. And Steve came home. He came home in June. And it's been a very interesting year. It's been a really awesome, when I say it's been an awesome year. Of course, when you get back together after being apart for so long, there are things, there are adjustments that have to be made. And we did it through prayer. You know, anytime we bumped heads about, you know, because we were apart, we went into prayer that God would just make us into what God wanted us to do. Because at this point, we were seeking God for everything. And I was so impressed with that. I was so impressed. It's like if something happened, Steve would go to the room and pray. And I would pray. And that's the making of a very good relationship, because I remember the times when it was not like that. It was not like that. But I thank God that it's like that now. That when we have disagreements, that we'll pray about it, you know. And God, and God is just doing a wonderful thing. I love this man now more than I've ever imagined ever being able to love him. And this man, I let him tell you whether he loved me that much. But I look at him. I'm watching God do things in him, and it's just only God can get the glory. I'm just excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about, the anointing that is upon this man. I'm watching this man every morning. We're up at 5 o'clock on our knees, because that is, just, like Steve said before, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. So we seek God in the morning, early in the morning for that day, so that God can orchestrate our day. And I'll let
you. Oh, man. I have to say I love my wife, Michelle. God has blessed us, and it's happened. But let me tell you the spiritual side of a battle that you are having. This is for the men mostly. A lot of times you get into another relationship, now you are back with another spirit. You know, and in the relationship, right, everything is right. I mean, as far as the place and everything set and everything is, you say, wow, this is seem like perfect, you know, and connections with people and stuff like that. Plus, I was doing a lot of playing because I'm a musician. I was doing a lot of playing. I was doing more playing than ever. And so I was constantly meeting people. But the thing about it, it was a spiritual battle, and sometimes you got to see, and I start seeing myself dying spirit. And I said, so I used to come home after playing gigs and stuff like that, and I should say, God, what is going on? What's the thing? What is happening to me? Because I remember I had that joy, and plus that anointing, and that anointing, I don't want to lose that anointing. Everybody used to say, wow, man, I used to play for like Johnny McKirkland and all these different artists, but you don't want to lose that anointing. So when you get into another relationship, it sacrifices something because it takes you out of the will of God. And I start seeing, so even though I was playing for a church on Sunday and stuff like that, and I was in another relationship, but then I stopped because she didn't want to go to church. The person I was with, they didn't want to go to church. And you want somebody spiritually saved and equally yoked. And I didn't want to be the cause of that, so I stopped witnessing and telling her about, you know, this and that, and start ministering the gospel to her about certain things, because, you know, we just get into debates and stuff like that, and she was like, bro, you know how that goes. But then, yeah, I start seeing, I said, wow, I'm not equally yoked with this woman, really. I could see that, you know. This is just a platonic relationship, and it's not spiritual. A marriage, one thing about it, when you're married, it's not only that you marry physical, but you marry spiritual in the sight of God, and that becomes one. That's where I can see where in the scripture it says that, and they became one in the flesh. So, in spirit. So, we can see that we became one with Michelle, and I was still having feelings for her because I still loved her. I used to tell Michelle every morning, I said, baby, I love you. And all the time, I loved her because she's the mother of my children, and that's the first one I have, had my children. and I was so proud of her when the babies were being popped out. I was like, wow, this is amazing. So when you're young and you grow up in a relationship, you grow up and you see, wow, that's my wife, and I'm working at this job, and I'm coming home, and suddenly you start seeing babies popping out, and you say, wow, wait, man, this is a beautiful thing, because you see a rebirth of you, you know. But let me go back to how I was dealing with it, you know. But I was up in New York and I was dealing with it. It was like a spiritual battle for now. And I can understand that scripture even stronger. It says that we don't wrestle against flesh, but we wrestle against the spiritual principalities that's not of this world. And the funny thing, I start seeing myself battling, because everything was coming. I mean, I was even taking pictures of me in mansions and having fun and eating in high class restaurants and stuff like that. But yet, it was all to block me from leaving. Sometimes you get into certain things. And, wow, man, I'm moving with the high life. I'm running with some movers and shakers of New York, and yet. It is killing me spiritually. So I start the spiritual guy, the spiritual man guy, and I always crave that voice and to hear the anointing and power in my life, because I have soul. And I can understand it, because the devil, only you know it, but the devil knows who you are, you know? And growing up, and my father, my father was a pastor, and growing up in the church, and a lot of times people used to say, hey, we can't heal that person, or we can't do nothing with that person, so we're going to bring them over to Good Shepherd, because Good Shepherd is a deliverance church. My father used to drive and pick up what we call A.A. Allen when he used to come to New York, fly into New York, and take him to Jersey and I'd stay at my godmother's house. So I got the chance to meet some really great and powerful men of God and stuff like that. And when I was a little kid. And so I can see the devil knows who you are. And a lot of times in the deliverance ministry, I used to play for the deliverance ministry. And we used to watch the God deliver and break yokes and set people free. And God moved in people's lives mightily. And suddenly I said, man, when you lose that anointing and that spirit of God that is on you, can still be musically technical, a technician, or you can operate in your technical field, but yet there is something that's special that's gone. And I was craving that again. I started craving that. And I said, wow, this relationship is going great. I'm meeting a lot of people, a lot of connections and everything. But then yet when I came down here and I start seeing that face of my wife, of Michelle and my family, and yet I like that family structure because I come from a generation of a strong family structure from grandparents to my father, and, you know, so it speaks like in my mother, you know, you see that strong connection, that relationship where their relationship was until death do you part, you know? And I wanted that back in my life. I really wanted that back in my life. So I start praying. So me and Michelle start praying. It's like, now this is where it connects, where we were praying. But you know what? When couples pray, no matter what you go through, when you pray, it becomes a power. No matter, so we can't say that prayer is separated by distance, even though she was down here in North Carolina and I was up in New York. So we get on the phone and pray. So that was our connection. So we start connecting spiritually again. And suddenly things was going, but then you know what? I said, hey, you know what? I got to get out of this relationship because this relationship is not leading me any direction where it glorifies God. So I said everything. I started making things, plans, and getting my, I said, well, you know, time for me to pull out the Harley Davidson and go on a nice road trip, you know? You know, and I told the person, I said that, you know, this is not going nowhere because you don't want to really accept Christ in your life, and our relationship is kind of, you know, I thought that, you know, I thought it would be different, but it's not going the way what I expect. Because when, if you want a wife, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. That means that he that finds someone who is in a harmonious relationship with them, with their spirit of agreement, it is better. So I broke the relationship off, and I said, let me just go and just get out. And so I started. Right. I said, I'm going to take me a nice little road trip, turn it into a road trip and ride it on back to North Carolina. And I rode down to North Carolina because my heart was urgent because I wanted to see my family. I wanted that whole family structure. And then as I've been praying, God has been building up me spiritually again with a relationship with God, which is more important than anything, you know? And I start connecting back with God and trusting God and believing God and depending on God. No matter what you know, sometimes, a lot of times, when you get out of a relationship and God knows that you are worth something or some kind of value or something, the devil tries to put other things that is not worth anything, but yet, oh, this is supposed to be spectacular, or this is supposed to be great, or you moving in this circle and that. That's a really a blind side, a spiritual blind side, because he only can offer you what is out there, you know. But God can offer you so much more. And God started really moving in my life. The anointing starts coming back. And God just really started moving in me, and I started feeling that bubbling spirit. And then I started feeling that strong love for my family again. I always had the love for them, but I had a stronger love for Michelle and my family, especially, you know, just looking at those brown eyes, what can I say? I'm going to be honest with you, you know. We can talk spirit all day, but flesh is flesh.
Yes,
you know,
it is. Tell the truth.
It's not real. Yeah. The beautiful brown eyes, yeah. But, and I know the side. You see, a man knows, he knows his woman or his wife. He knows what his side. I used to tell Michelle all the time, I said, I love you, but I hate to see you cry. And I always tried my best to keep her happy and try to do the right thing by her, you know? And she had that sad look when I left the first time, you know, to fly back up to New York. So when I see her, I really want to keep that smile on her face. And God brought us to this moment now. Now we reconciliate our devotion to each other, but most of all, we reconciliate that connection with us and God, which makes it even stronger and much greater, because that makes you a force. Well, I remember me and Michelle, we used to, oh, man, God has used us mightily, even in New York. We started with only three people singing. Next thing we had 40 to 60 people coming for choir rehearsal and witnessing and telling them about Christ. So sometimes we go through certain things so that we can be a testimony to others. And this brought us to this moment with you. So now we're here on the air trying to tell men and women everywhere that it can work. Marriage can work. A relationship can work in Christ. And this is the real thing. And God wants to go forth and move in your relationship. And you got to let God deal in your relationship. You know what? A lot of times, a lot of these things are like from outside forces. It's real. I should know because, like I said, my father was a deliverance pastor, and I've seen some things that I can't even talk on this air about. But the thing about it, there is a spirit realm. There is a flesh realm. And that spirit realm is a lot stronger because it controls a lot of people in the flesh. But God's power is all power. You know, and God can heal, save, and deliver. And to me, it seems like when you come out of that world, it seems like the scales from your eyes fall, and the chains that break, and then the yokes are being broken out of you, and now that you can say, "Wow, wee man, I'm back in that relationship." So I'm enjoying God, I'm enjoying my family, and I'm getting ready for this spectacular moment. I know it's going to be exciting. You know, we got people who are coming all over from as far as New York, Florida, and to come down and to celebrate with us again on this special day that we have coming up.
Oh yes, we were supposed to be going. I talked to Michelle too. We were supposed to be going to Montgomery, Alabama, and when I told my husband, I don't know if she shared it with you, Steve, but when I found out where he being it was, I was like, oh no. I said, I can't go next weekend. I got to be here for the marriage, for the wedding. I'm excited about it. You know, it's an exciting thing when God, you know, really shows his hand and really, you know, lets us see. This is me. You think that you've seen something, you know, and the world is saying that you can't get back together after you've been married for so long, you know, but I was so amazed by even the time that I met with Michelle. And she was talking to you on the phone, and it was so light, and it was so, you know, it was so, like, what are we doing apart? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
We love you and your husband. You know, it's one thing because, you know, your marriage is a light to others, too. I remember that because I used to see you and your family come to church, you know. And that is an inspiration to other marriage, you know? So you're a reflection. We never know who our marriage, our relationship reflects on, you know? So your marriage was a kind of reflection to us because I like that family structure, and I always seen that family. I'm used to that family structure. When you look at people without a strong family structure, it's not that you feel sad for them, no. It's that you wonder and you say, wow, wait, I wonder what is missing. Is it this part of Christ, or did the guy accept Christ, or did she you know, what kind of elements that went through, because you know, if the family structure is broken, it's not broken by God, it's broken by Satan, you know? And so I definitely, especially with Christians, we got to lift each other up, especially when it comes to family and marriage.
Absolutely. We are fooled by the world, and as I talked before, the stuff that we look at on television, we feel like, you know, it doesn't influence us, but that's a strong influence. When you're seeing, you know, and I hate to keep ragging on, you know, the different programs that are on, but Scandal and Being Mary Jane, and I caught an episode of that, and it's about a woman that's in love with a married man, and, you know, I'm like, well, how does that edify God? How does that bring you closer to God watching those kind of, and I know they're entertaining, they're made to be entertaining, but, you know, how does that make you stronger in the Lord, looking at that kind of stuff? And I mean, it's up to you. Everybody is different. It's up to you. If you feel like, you know, that's your forte, then I say amen. But for me, I can't watch that kind of stuff and be strong, you know, in the Lord and the things of God, because it takes you away. It takes you away. And not saying that I don't watch, you know, I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect, because I'm far from perfect. But I do, you know, some things I just, you know, can't allow myself to do. But anyway, I'm so excited for next week and, you know, what God is doing in your lives. And, you know, thank you for coming on. And I know you're not finished, but I just appreciate when I asked Michelle, you know, I said, wow, it's almost a year since they were on a broadcast, and I revisited their broadcast on YouTube, and I was like, Lord, I wonder if they'll come back on. It's almost time for their wedding, and I know Michelle has a lot to do, but, you know, I wanted to ask them to come on, and as soon as I asked Michelle, she was like, of course, and I'm so grateful to God for you coming on and sharing your testimony with us and letting us know just what God can do in your lives. And we have quite a few callers on, and I want to open up the line for you guys. Pardon me. Are you guys open for answering questions or praying to someone or anything like that?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. We're here to encourage.
That's right. It's to God's glory, so yes.
Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to open up the line of my dear sister, Felicia. Felicia, are you there?
Yes, I am. Amen, amen. Felicia is a former guest of the broadcast, and she has a ministry that ministers to young ladies, unwed young mothers. And did you want to say to our guest today?
Yes, I did. First, I wanted to say thank you for coming on. It has touched me because what you were just talking about, I'm going through now. I've been with my husband 18 years. In 2011, he left. It's almost 3 years that we have been separated and going through a divorce, and it's like, God, okay, I know that this is my husband. I know that this is who you put me with. This is my kid's father. You know, what's going on? And so to hear your story and to hear your testimony, that has really given me, you know, faith enough to know that, okay, if God did it for them, he's no prospective person, that he can't do it for me. So I got up at 7:30 this morning. I'm like, oh, my God, the broadcast is on. Let me hurry up and get on. And I got on just as Michelle was talking, and that really touched me to know that God can do it no matter what and no matter how dim it looks. how do you know without a shadow of a doubt or not, you know, not waver from God, I want my marriage back, or, you know, this is the person that I'm supposed to be with? How did you not waver from that, Michelle?
Because, okay, what I did was when you stay in the word, when God gives you a word, and the scripture that God told me was to be reconciled or remain unmarried, I didn't have any other option. So that is the word of God. And then when I was, I constantly was looking at, on YouTube about, I'm going to say T.D. Jakes is, I love him when it comes to marriage stuff. And he had a message on one time, and it was called, "You Are Going to Get It Back. You Are Going to Get It Back." And everything that would encourage me to stand in faith is what I went towards, because we have to build up our most perfect faith. And when the message came on about you are going to get it back, and he said to some it may be another job, to others it may be a restoration in your marriage, I held on to that. I held on to that, and I said, well, God, you said that you are a God of reconciliation. The only time that it does not get back together is when we give up and we walk away, because we cannot waver. And I'm determined, I was determined to see it all the way to the end. If God said that he can bring my husband back, I wanted to see that happen. So it was like I would just ask God, even when I got wicked, and I would pray, and I knew that whatever we were going through is for ministry. It's for ministry. So I was determined to stand. The Bible says, after doing all to stand, stand. And the moment you wear Christ has set you free, stand. You have to be determined to stand. You have to be determined to stand. You have to be determined to seek God for yourself, to get the because God speaks to us. He talks to us, and God was telling me, he said, Michelle, what you're going through is for your good. It's for your good. The fact that Steve, right now, at a time when Steve was with someone else, God kept telling me, Michelle, this is for your good. This is for your good, because all things work together for your good. I want to encourage you. You stand on the word of God and know that it is for your good. You have ministry. You and your husband, you have ministry. Sometimes, and we got another bill on this phone about this right now, and we didn't go through what we went through. So honestly, when God said it was for our good, he saw this very day in our future. And then we would go back and encourage other people that have to come out, because the book is running rampant in the church. And that is not God's will. That's not God's perfect will for the church. So I'm telling you, be encouraged. Keep praying. Don't give up. Just keep praying. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. No matter how impossible it looks, prayer changes things. And if you're open to what God tells you about yourself, there may be things that God may minister to you about. Be humble. Be open. Be just let God do you. Let God make you new. And God will make your husband new. And when he brings her back together, it'll be a whole different realm of a relationship.
I'd like to ask one question. Is your husband a Christian? Is he saved?
No, he's not. He's not.
Okay. See, okay, not so then.
His religion was Islam. That's what he was raised under. But he started to go to church with me. He was going to church, and that was amazing, because he said he would never step foot in a church, but he began to go. And then all of a sudden, it just fell apart.
Yeah, well, you know, we know that the enemy puts up blinders, and Other religions and certain things where it has no power. The reason I say it has no power, because I've seen the only power I've seen that raised the dead, and I have seen people's foot shaped in a letter C. My sister put shaped in a letter C at birth, but yet straightened out before the eyes. The only name I know that has power and authority is the name of Jesus. So when you go into prayer, when you go into your secret closet, you got to call his name before God. And you got to say the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I call this man that the scales will fall from his eyes and that he will see the light and that that God will touch him and move in his heart and let him. You want to reconciliate this relationship, right?
Yes.
So you got to go after it, like it's just like a kid loves apple pie. You know, you got to go after it. You got to go after it. Because, you know, that's the thing that I loved about my wife. I'm going to be honest with you. She was a praying woman, and that's what I always loved about her. I loved that spiritual relationship. I loved when we was in New York, when we'd be ministering to people, we'd see God move and sometimes prophesying to people. So, You love to see the work of God in your life. It's because it's towards the better of man, you know. And I definitely encourage you, sister, to not give up on him.
That's right.
You know, even though sometimes, you know, I know as a man, sometimes we walk blindly. We're not aware of our situations and certain things. Women see things that we don't even notice, you know.
Yeah.
But you got to be his eyes. You got to say, Lord, I want him to see Christ. I want him to have a relationship with you. God, give him a relationship. So first thing, try to establish a relationship with him that he can have a relationship with Christ. You understand what I'm saying? That's the first thing you pray for. The first thing you pray for is his salvation and his relationship with Christ. Because Ephesians, it tells in Ephesians 5, if you read in Ephesians 5 in certain scriptures about husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and give himself, it gets into a lot of things about marriage and about relationships. So first thing, he's got to have a relationship with God. You understand? So you got to ask the Lord. You say, Lord, take away the blindness. And I've seen people from Muslim faith, even when I was a soldier over in Iraq, I've seen Iraqis that have left the Muslim faith and moved over to Christ.
That's,
you know,
powerful.
So God is all power.
That's right.
All power. And so certain things that you need to be broken, that's a chain. So religion is a chain. You know, certain religions are chains. And you need that chain to be broken and fall off. And so that your guys can unify as one, you know?
And you want, but you want to also, you want to, like Steve was saying, stay in prayer. You want to stay in prayer. Because the Bible says the sanctified wife will sanctify the unbelieving husband.
That's right.
So that is your assignment. You can't give up on him, and with loving kindness, anytime you get the opportunity, I don't know if he's I don't know, but every time you communicate, it has to be loving. It has to be a loving communication, because you have more than what anyone else can offer. You got God. So the enemy hates that. He hates the fact that you had a Muslim go into the church. That's really, and every good ever since then to divide you. But you still know what God says. God can bring it back. God, you have a miracle coming.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Thank God. I thank God for your life to be at the point where your husband won't even want to enter a church.
Yes.
You be encouraged and know that God is going to restore your marriage. And you keep speaking that. I would tell the kids, when you see that, I would go to the kids. I said, me and daddy come home. Me and daddy get back together. Daddy come home. So keep talking words over your marriage, even though it doesn't look good. You're speaking because God, the power of life and death is in the truth. You speak some things that be not as if they are. While you're trusting God, while you're waiting on God, you have to speak it. Speak over your marriage. In the evening, in the morning, every time you think about it, God, I thank you because this is going to be a testimony. God, I thank you because you're going to restore this marriage. Lord, I put it in your head. This is your plan. Lord, you're going to do this. You're going to turn it around. God, I thank you. That's the kind of prayer you can pray. And every time it comes to your marriage, oh, hallelujah, I'm coming back. I thank God that you're coming back. You're coming back a new man. Go to the church. How good you were in the church one time. God allowed him to hear something that will change his life. And if he walked away and he went and did other things, God will bring that word back to him. When he learned in the church and nothing else. Like Steve said, he felt like he was dying because he got the taste of God. Your husband had a taste. What he saw, he experienced God somehow, some way. So I want to count it out.
Yes, we are coming together, and this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to listen, because as a married couple, we're coming together and praying that your relationship gets restored, because that's our new testimony now. Yes, so stay encouraged. Definitely stay encouraged.
Amen. I know a lot of times that we, we get weary, and the words that come out of our mouth are not words that engulf what we want. But, you know, because we discourage, sometimes words come out of our mouths that are not supposed to come out of our mouths. Like, I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't even want him back. You know, when you know that you do want him back. That's how the enemy tricks us. He lets us, you know, say things that are contrary to the word of God. We always have to keep the word of God. That's what I'm saying about, you know, watching those different programs. It's like that gets in your spirit. That gets in your spirit, and, you know, you start emulating the things that you're seeing on television. You don't even know sometimes that you're doing that you're emulating the things that you see on television, because our spirit is open. You open it up for different spirits, and they'll come in. If you open up the door, they'll come in. So, courage, Felicia, be encouraged. I know that this has been a long battle for you with your husband, but know that there is no thing that is too hard for God. You know, things that seem impossible are very possible with our God. He is the beginning and the end. He's above, and, you know, there's no thing that's too hard for him. And so did you want to say something? I'm going to ask Michelle and Steve to pray for you. No, that was it. Okay, so could you pray for my sister? This is one of my sisters from back home, one of my little sisters from back home, and she just graduated. She just graduated from college, and I'm so proud of, you know, you.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to know her husband's name. I'd like to know your husband's name.
Yes, it is Akmar, A-K-B-A-R.
Akmar.
Yes.
Akbar. Okay, here we go. We're gonna pray for his salvation first, okay? Is that okay? All right?
Yes, that's
good. Thessalonians, if we read it in First Thessalonians, it tells us to make all things unto God, you know, about in prayer, through prayer. So we're gonna first attack the main source. It's the spiritual source, right? The relationship.
Yes.
Spiritual relationship. Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that you are God Almighty, knowing that you are the Father of all spirits.
Yes.
You are the controller.
Yes.
And you are the creator. And God, we call before in prayer to bring our brother Ahmad Abar in prayer. We call his name. God, you know his heart, you know his mind, and God, you know his spirit, because you have created. And God, we ask that you do a new thing in his life. God, bring a relationship. Let him see the miracles and the power and the anointing of God move in his life. Let him draw closer to you, Lord. And Lord, let him realize his relationship with his wife and his family. And Lord, bring them back. Bring them back. Bring them back. Bring them back. Not to the same state, but bring them back as a new man. A new man that can walk in a church and be proud to say, Jesus is Lord.
And right now, in the name of Jesus, we come against every evil spirit. The blood of Jesus comes against you that would try to block this marriage from going forth. The blood of Jesus comes against you. You will not prosper. We cancel every assignment of the enemy. The blood of Jesus comes against you. Satan, the Lord God, rebukes you.
Yes.
You will not have this marriage. We come against every obstacle, every blinder. We decree and declare the blinders of his ears will be broken.
Yes.
We decree and declare the blinders on his heart, the scars on his heart will be taken off. Right now, in the name of Jesus, you, God will give him a heart of flesh again, not so hardened heart. When we come against any kind of a hardened heart, the blood of Jesus comes against that. Lord, we ask that you minister to this man. Minister to this woman. Lord, let your will be done in their life. Lord, we speak on these children. Lord God, we ask that you cover them under the blood of Jesus. Every generational curse, we break it in the spirit right now in the name of Jesus. That it will not prosper. No weapon formed against them will prosper. No weapon formed against this marriage will prosper. No weapon formed against this marriage will prosper. No weapon that is formed against this marriage will prosper. We plead the blood of Jesus. God, we thank you for what you're doing even now. Thank you, Lord, that you coach and you know how to divide the heart and the spirit, Lord God. We thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for keeping my every pray. Lord God, your spirit is on assignment. Your angels are on assignment on this side, on their behalf, Lord God.
Yeah.
I thank you for what you're doing. You get all the glory out of this situation. Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in this situation. Be glorified in this situation, God. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory for the testimony that is coming forth from this marriage. We decree and declare that it will be made whole. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. You dear sisters, like I said, I know a little of your story, so sometimes we get weary, you know, and things look impossible, but the only thing that moves God is faith. The only thing that moves God is faith. You know, you have to have that faith that it can work out. I don't care. Don't look at the situation. Look at God. That's why he said, I will look unto the hill from which cometh my help. He didn't want us looking around. He wanted us to look directly at him and only him. And naysayers that are around, don't hear what they have to say. You know, don't see that you said maybe against your marriage or against your husband. Repent of them and turn back to the Lord. That marriage, put it in his hands. You know, because it's ordained of God, and God is when we put him at the head of something. And he takes control of it. So, sister, encourage my sister, and I love you. And thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, speak right, because the scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the spiritual, the wickedness, and the high places. So, you got to speak life. So, the person, you got to attack in the spiritual world. You got to go. Hey, let me lock this in the spiritual realm, because I have to ask this in the spiritual realm. So
yes,
definitely, don't you see God and keep calling his name before the Lord in the spiritual realm.
Amen. 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 Thank you so, so very much. Oh, my God. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Amen. And while you're on the phone, Felicia, give us the information for those that didn't hear you when you were on, because she has an awesome ministry. She was, and that's another thing, the enemy will attack us to get us off of the things of God. He comes against us with things to try to disrupt, you know, the things of God. But this woman of God has a ministry that ministers to single young ladies that have babies. And so tell us a little bit about that before you came back to Asia, before.
Okay, well, I was a teen mother. So because of that, I saw the teen mothers of today not having help, not having anybody to stand up for them and do anything for them. So I started an organization called Divine Destiny for Teen Moms, and basically, you know, to help them, to guide them, to let them know, yes, you may have had a baby at a young age, but that shouldn't stop you from graduating high school, graduating college, you know, going to get your PhD if that's what you want, being a successful woman, you know, and let your kids look up to you to say, wow, that's my mom. You know, regardless, we didn't have enough, but she pushed through. And so it's very important for us to know that, you know, it is an epidemic that, you know, teens are getting pregnant just because, or because their friends are getting pregnant, or, you know, because they feel like it's going to keep the man with them or whatever, you know, that demon that they're wrestling with. So we help all mothers. It's from the age of, you know, 14 to 22. So we really push on that, and then we started another organization for lupus patients. I was diagnosed with lupus in 2011. So I started an organization called Loving You Past Your Sickness, where we reach out to people to help them to really understand lupus is not your death sentence. You can live a wonderful life if you just know, you know, first of all, the word of God. You know, he said that you are healed by his stripes. You know, so I incorporate a lot of things, and God has just been opening doors, and it's been amazing unto me what God is doing and the different places that he's taking me with this. So I'm very grateful. I'm doing a lot of things. It's only with God's help. I graduated from college, you know, May 17th with an associate in science, and I got accepted to Olivet for their BA program in nursing. So God is opening up doors and doing mighty things. So I'm grateful.
Amen. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Very beautiful testimony.
Thank you.
So give us your information, because she does accept donations and, you know, for the listeners to this broadcast and family later can't relate, but just want to be, you know, just want to be used by God. So give us that information for the donation solution.
Okay. They can call me at 708-297-1253. Our address is 22332 Governor's Highway, Suite 170, Richland Park, Illinois, 0471. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We have a mobile app that's on all Androids and all iPhones, the Apple products. So we're doing some big things. So, again, the phone number is 708-297-1253. They can email me at F, as in Frank Brown Townsend, at yahoo.com.
Wow, that's good. That's great.
So we're doing big things. We'll be in North Carolina and June 20th through the 23rd. So we're going places. We're going places.
Oh.
God is opening the doors for us.
You'll be here?
I'll be there in North Carolina. We have an event, Black Women Empowered. I'm the director of Chicago, and it's an organization that was built out of North Carolina, so I'll be there for their big event with Dickie Winans on the 21st. So I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited. So I fly in on the 20th. Yeah.
Where will you be? What city?
I will have to get that information because I'm driving, so I have my headphones on, but I will have to get that information. I definitely will give it to you because I do, if I'm close enough, I do want to come to your church on Sunday to be with you guys.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's exciting. I'm so
yes.
Happy to hear that you're going to be in the area. That's a real one. People come to visit, they may necessarily not come to visit me, but they're in the area, so I take advantage of it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I miss home. I don't want to be there, but I do miss it.
Yeah, I won't be here either, but.
Somebody has to stay there. Somebody has to stay there.
Amen. 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 But again, thank you so much, guys, for sharing your story. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're welcome. It's actually our responsibility. Since God did it, we got to tell somebody else because we overcome by the words of our testimony to Brother Lance.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And that's what we're here for, to give the testimonies of God. So, and to just say, God, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave your line open for each of us. I'm going to go to my brother, another graduate that graduated this year, and we're going to give some congratulations to Prophet Michael Lewis. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And congratulations to you also for graduating from college.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Amen. And my brother is calling all the way from California, so it's very early there for him. But we just thank God for you getting up and joining us this morning and that you have some progress that you wanted to give us or say something to the couple.
Yes. I want to say something to Sister Felicia first, if it's okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Sister Felicia, everything that they shared with you, there's one more key element that you must do, and that is you have to forgive him for anything that he has done. You have to put yourself in a state of forgiveness, and that makes your prayer more pure. You know, the Bible tells us that if we have an ought or we think that we have an ought against someone, that the first thing we do is reconcile that ought, get that ought taken care of. And if you can't get to him face to face, then you pray it before God, and God will do the rest. And then to the couple
Amen.
Again, I want to thank y'all for coming on. It was a year ago that I did hear this story, and I thank God for what I heard, and you know, even hearing some new elements I didn't hear all of my brother's testimony last time, and I thank God that you are even being the man and even saying, you know, you at fault, you did this, you did that, and that's a beautiful thing because we as men, you know, if we have that hard shell brought up to be tough, that exterior, that we don't allow the Spirit to penetrate our hearts. But I thank and praise God for that. And what God is doing with y'all, it's amazing because you're not finding in this sort of setting no more ministry where we talk about the issues when it comes to marriage. The quickest thing to do is throw in the towel. And, you know, I don't hear too many preachers preach stay together, but the Word of God is your guide. It is the guide.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a church as a whole, we got to go back to the teacher, to what the Word of God tells us. And, sister, I commend you again for your stand on what is right. And this is what, you know, even my brother right now, he's going through the same situation. And what I shared with him was, lose sight on the wife for right now and get drenched in God. Fall madly in love with God. Get whatever the wife is doing, don't trip over her. And I told him that. And he's seeing now that the thing that I told him to do is scripture. Everything that we do in this life as a saint, as a Christian, as a believer, we got to go by what the Word says. So I commend y'all for what y'all doing together again, ministry. It ain't about the husband. It's not about the wife. It's about the union. The union. It's a union. This is what represents Christ's relationship with his daddy. It's a marriage. And so the marriages on earth have got to reflect that. And, you know, I'm a single man, been single all my life, and my friends used to say, well, how you going to tell me about being married? I say, it's the Spirit of God. It's just common sense. When you study the Word, this is what the words say, how you ought to be. And one thing about us men, we're hunters. So when we go out and hunt, we get the prize, which is the wife or the girlfriend, when it starts off. But once we get them, we stop doing what we did to get them, and this is something that they look forward to. So you got to go back to doing some of them things, you know, leaving letters here, baby, find me over here, and, you know, write them poems, get that candy, shoot them flowers, go back to bed. You got to go back through the whole thing all over again. Keep her excited. Keep her numero uno in your mind, in your life, in your air, everything around her. Put her first. And I thank and praise God again for y'all because you're showing the sustenance of God, what a marriage is built and what it's based on. You say every man's work is going to be tried by the fire. So think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. This is just the beginning of your proving ground. And I hear you saying about, you know, the different ones that you have played with. But even in that, God is going to elevate your playing even higher now that you're back with the one. Because now your praise become even more purer. Because if you go back and study David, when he was dealing with Saul, the Bible say David played. He didn't sing a word. It say he played skillfully. So the spirit that was in David that God blessed him, it came out in the music. So now when you play with that purity of that spirit, when you play now, it's a different spirit that's going to elevate even the more because it's a pure sound. It's a pure sound.
Thank you. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I receive every word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Mike, and congratulations again, my brother. I see your posting on Facebook and so proud, you know, that you have gone back, and I saw the post where you say you were clown and you didn't get a chance to clown years ago. I saw it.
Yeah, you know, let me just say this quickly, Sister Billy. I didn't graduate from high school. I did the ninth grade. I was the student body president of ninth grade. I graduated some kind of way, 75, I entered into college. I'm in the yearbook. 76, I'm in the yearbook. And 77, the year I was supposed to graduate, I'm nowhere to be found in the yearbook. And then 1978, I popped back up. in the yearbook. And so for me, 1977, and I don't know for the likes of me what happened. Totally 77 is a blur. So when I entered into college 5 years ago, at first I wasn't even set to finish. I was just going to do something. But after year two, with all the hardships, the heart attack and the seizures, and I start focusing in year four, getting ready to come to the end. And when my mom died, my baby sister died, and my oldest sister died all in the same year, I'm like, wow. And the enemy saying, man, go on and quit. And I'm like, no. So I thank and praise God. I said it had been 37 years that I was supposed to walk in high school. So what I missed, I'm just that buffoon, you know, I'm going to enjoy this, because if my mom was here, she would have, you know, cheered me on, but she wasn't there, and I'm like, man, I made it still, Mom. You know, I still made it. And the beautiful thing was I was the very last person to be called. Now, most people would have been upset. I say, oh, no, this is God's time to shine, because everything that I've been through, and I just wish you could have been there to hear the ovation, because quite a few of the people that were there know my story. So when they called my name, I got my praise on the stage. I bust out and picked them up, put them down. I sure did, jumped up a couple times, pointed to heaven and said, hallelujah, I sure did. In front of everybody, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know where my God has brought me to get them papers, an associate in arts, radio, and television. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's awesome. You enjoy it. You enjoy it. And I know that if your mother was here, she's here in your heart. So that makes her here to celebrate with you. And I know that she, you know, would be so proud of you. And, you know, God is using this man of God. And he has a ministry that he ministers to men. Isn't that right, Prophet?
Yes, men that live in a shelter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome ministry, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I deal with women, too, but I teach the men exclusively. And, you know, I do, like the Bible says, I don't exclude nobody. I deal with babies, children, don't make a difference, but those men, I definitely go and teach on Tuesdays, but whatever day I'm free during the week, I go down there and physically let them see me, touch me, talk to me. You know, this is what we've got to go back to doing. We got to go back to the streets.
Right.
We got to go back to doing what the Bible say, compelling them to come, that my house be filled. Then we got to be careful how we treat them before they get there, and after they get in there, how we treat them still.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. You're so right.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, because
we're like they said, there's soldiers out there, but we need soldiers in the trenches as well. You know.
Yeah.
And I thank God for you, Elder, because you are in the trenches, and I know how it is in the trenches, because Satan tries to come against you. But I'm standing with you in prayer that God will touch and heal, save, deliver, and set free these men, and that God will move mightily in your life as far as anointing and that the touch of God will be on there, and let them see that Christ is the answer.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I agree. Definitely. Beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful ministry.
And Brother Steve, you still do music?
Yes, I still do music. Yeah, well, we both do music. Matter of fact, I came back down here, and I'm going to work on more of a gospel jazz like music that's coming up. That me and another brother named Paul is because he's anointed to guitar player too, and we're gonna and my wife, she writes songs. She's definitely a songwriter. Matter of fact, her music is on the internet. If you ever go to Michelle Jackson and featuring Infinite Praise.
And, Michelle Jackson.
Yeah, Michelle Jackson featuring Infinite Praise. And the name of her album is So They Know. It's a really high, powerful, amazing effect of music. And what I'm going to do, what we can really start is a more of a gospel, easy listening jazz, where you can pray, meditate on God, and not only that, you can meditate and pray on God, and you can, enjoy a nice jazz gospel.
Okay.
Amen. Very, very anointed family, Prophet. They are very anointed family. They have four children that are active in the ministry and songwriters. As a matter of fact, Xavier is, what is his degree in?
He has a degree in web design and motion graphics, and he actually works in the department World Overcomers Church.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're very, very active in the church. I'm not going to get into New Steve and me pushing him when he came to the church. We were attending together, and that's how we met, attending the same church. And Steve was just so anointed on the congos. Oh, my God. I just would love to hear him play those congos. And that's a little inside joke, huh, Steve?
Yes, when you feel that and you taste of the anointing, you definitely always, it always draws you to come back to it, you know? And I love to play under the anointing because I've seen God move and deliver so much. Yeah. If you heard me play the congas with you, I don't think you heard me play the bass.
No, you didn't. You didn't play the bass at life.
Yeah. I played bass. Yeah.
And
I heard him play the bass.
Oh, shit. Well, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you broke it out a few times before we left.
Yeah.
That's going to be a little bit on what we are planning together with this album that we are coming up with next, this jazz album, gospel jazz album.
Is that Paul from Life that you're talking about?
Yes, Paul, the guitarist.
Yes, Paul. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And, we know that's going to be a blessing. That's probably the most excellent guitar player I've known not, you know. He's probably on the caliber of Chick Corea and
yes.
Some of these other greats.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I enjoy Paul. Me and Paul hang out just about every Saturday. And we go to music stores and the crowd is drawing them upon it, and they say, wow, your guys should definitely do something. So now we are set and focused, and we got a place to rehearse, so we're going to start focusing on making some beautiful music, you know, and let God use us.
Amen.
And they have me
guys,
they're so wished.
Michelle has a beautiful voice. We're going to go on your Facebook, not Facebook, your YouTube channel, and before we go, I want you to give us that information again, Michelle, for your ministry on Facebook, I mean YouTube. We are here to encourage, you know, and uplift and let people know what the truth of God is doing, and also to let people know what you know, we have different ministries, and so we want to expose those different ministries to the world. And we don't know what God wants to do, you know, with us and what he, we're not in a ministry for ourselves. We're in a ministry for the world. And so that's
right.
What we want, you know, that's what we want to, that was one of our goals. And again, we fought that so that people know, you know, that, people think that there's no fun in the church. Well, you can't have fun in the church. You can't laugh in the church. And, you know, you can enjoy one another. God enjoy one another. You go in the church. And so that's one of the things that we do as well. So, amen. Amen. And you tell Paulie that hi, and, you know, we miss seeing him play the guitar, and he's a very accomplished guitar player. He played with some of the greats in the world. Now, back in the 70s and 80s.
Right. Yeah, he went all over playing, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah,
and so he's a very humble man, too. I love that. He has a beautiful spirit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the website for, I mean, the channel for our testimony is actually Infinite Praise Records on YouTube. It's Infinite Praise Records, and we only have the one video on there. It's about marriage, separation, divorce, and reconciliation. We have also two websites. My website is www.mjip, which stands for Michelle Jackson and Infinite Praise Music.com. And that is where my CD is, which is called Soulville Know. And Steve has a website. It's www.moveonthebeatwithstephenjackson, and that's where he owns his pictures and his portfolios on there about the different people he's played for and everything. And we're really looking forward to this year because we actually are in the process of even getting together a music video for one of the songs. That my daughter, Christina, she's a liturgical dancer and a choreographer, and she's going to actually put together a musical for one of the songs this week. We're going to have an art exhibit of the children. There's so many things that we have planned, and the year is coming. I mean, we're already in right at June, but we're trying to do a lot for the kingdom because there's more than just preaching and singing in ministry. There's art ministry. There's poetry ministry. There's blessed ministry. There's so many ministries. Anything that the world can use to edify the devil, God has better things that can edify him. So we want to use all those gifts that God gave us as a family and as friends to definitely edify the church.
Amen. Amen. You're so right. There's so many ministries. We just look at the thing of the mindset. We've always dealt with, you know, in-house. And I remember we used to, back home, we used to have live ministers to recovering addicts. And oh, my God, I just, it was so, it just blessed me so to be there with those women every week. Just, you know, a blessing to me. You know, so I can imagine how you feel, Prophet, going and ministering to those men and women, how it blesses you to be out there, you know, giving them the word of God and then being approachable and touchable because we don't have that anymore in the church. So everybody is you know, it is too close to some of these pastors out here now. But, amen. So, babe, did you have something else that you wanted to say?
I'm just blessed by the testimonies today, the testimony today of just the faithfulness of God. And just, I don't know, I love you guys, Steve and Michelle, and just thank you for sharing with the world that there's hope. You know, sometimes I think about the script, the story of Lazarus, Jesus' friend Lazarus, and we've coined a phrase in the modern world that where there's life, there's hope. So, you know, just, you know, don't give up as long as there's life. But, you know, with God, it's even beyond that. As long as there's Jesus, there's hope. So no matter how bad one situation is, how dead the situation seems to be, even to the point where it's just gone, there's still hope because there's Jesus. Jesus showed up on the scene after Lazarus died, and you know, Mary was like, and Martha, well, Jesus, if you had been here, we know that you'd have been able to save him. We know that he would not have died. But Jesus said, you know, just because he's dead here naturally, I'm the resurrection. I'm alive. I can bring it back. So, every situation is never without hope because Jesus is everlasting and he is our hope. So I just pray that all who listen to this will realize, especially regarding their marriage and relationship situations, that it may have died, but there's Jesus and there's hope, and you guys are a living testimony of that, and I just thank you for sharing that with us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for
even considering us.
Yeah.
Because I know God has opened this door, and I appreciate that you actually have obeyed the voice of God to let us come on and share our testimony.
We appreciate that.
Because we know that the need is...
Go ahead.
Yes, the need is great for people to hear it. Because we want to see marriages restored, and it only can happen through God. So we give God the glory. And if we can ever share our testimony anywhere, please don't hesitate to give us, you can give us a call at 919-885-4486. If anyone would like for us to come and share our testimony, we would love to minister.
Can you repeat that again?
919-885-4486.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I have my sister Carolyn is on the line. I spoke with her, and she doesn't really have a voice. She's suffering with allergies, and I saw where she had gone to the hospital this week from her allergies. And I don't know, can you say something to us, Sister Carolyn? You've been on the line. Thank you for joining us. And we're all friends of Life International Church.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to say I thank God for the testimony from Michelle and Steve. That is so awesome. And I just pray that God will continue to do a mighty work through you all. And I must also say that I really admire the work that you all have done with your gifted children. I've always admired them. They've always been very well-mannered. They are so gifted, and that's attributed to you, and I thank God for the gift that's within them, and that they will go further in the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. When we first had our children, as soon as they came home from the hospital, she raised up each child in the air like they do on Lion King. And he told them, God, we dedicate these children back to you. And then it's been our desire since they were born to raise them to be people in the kingdom.
Yes.
Awesome.
Amen.
Yes.
And also, Billy, I had posted on your Facebook page the young lady that was on. I sent a friend of mine a poster that about that. I think it's the same conference that she was referring to.
Okay.
So you should be able to find it on your Facebook page.
Okay. All right. We'll make sure that we get that out so people can get that. I see it. I'm looking at it now. Black Women Expo. Is it going to be here? It's going to be in Greensboro.
In Greensboro.
Okay, awesome.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Awesome. That's not too far. So we definitely need to get together. Maybe we can get some women together and join you.
Yeah.
Amen. Black Women Empowered. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. We just so honored, Michelle, and all of you that have joined us this morning. We just thank God that God can get the glory out of our lives. And use us to get the testimonies out of what he's doing in the lives of his people. He's yet doing things. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how bad things seem to be in the world. God is still God, and he is still doing godly things, and he is still moving doing miracles, and it's really a miracle, you know, that you guys were able to get back together. It's a miracle. There are a lot of marriages out there that maybe would like to get back together, but didn't have that fortitude to stay focused and to say, okay, I don't see anything but this one thing, focusing on that thing. And that's, I think, where we get off sometimes when we're speaking to God about something. We say it not to be weary. Sometimes we get weary and we look at situations and we have people in our ears that are saying different things to us and they're negative and they don't mean to be negative, you know, but sometimes they are, and that gets into your spirit. But like Michelle said, she cut everybody off. She didn't entertain any men. She didn't. She just had God. What am I supposed to do? And the result is she and her husband are getting remarried next week, and I'm just so happy and just so. Can't wait to celebrate with you next week. Can't wait.
I can't wait. It's such a wonderful event. I mean, and every time I think about it, I always say this has God's signature on it, because this is not something that we knew was going to happen. this got God's signature all over it. So I'm expecting angels to be flooded in the place. I'm expecting miracles, salvation, healing, deliverance, all that to be happening because of the spirit and the presence of God is going to be there.
And the unification of marriage.
Yeah, the unification, right. And for God to bring back broken marriages and to strengthen weak marriages and those who may be thinking about getting married to really take it serious.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that are marrying for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they're marrying the wrong, they're thinking about marrying the wrong people that God, they're not even considering God. And as I'm speaking, I want people to, that may be contemplating getting married. And we said this the last time we were on the air, but I think I want to share this again. Because I was engaged twice to two other men before I married Steve. And with each guy, I went to the Lord, and I asked God, man, is this who you want me to marry? And sometimes God didn't answer me anymore. One time he answered me right before the wedding. And I told the God, I said, look, I can't marry you. I said, because God told me not to. So he said, well, God ain't told me that because he was a pastor. He said, God ain't told me nothing. I said, I'm not a pastor, God ain't told you. I can't marry you. And I had to call all my girlfriends and tell them the wedding is off, and we had bought bridesmaid dresses, and everybody, but I could not marry him because the word of the Lord told me he's not going to put me together with somebody. And then 3 or 4 months in, I was going to be separated. I told him, yes. I'm a man of God. So it's not always because the person is ungodly that you're not supposed to marry them. There's some people in the gospel that God sees the future. And God knows what he wants for you. And God told me not to marry this man. And he was an awesome minister. He had beautiful personality. I don't know what was in the future. But I know God told me no. So if God told me no, I had to obey God. Those times God told me no, he's not the one. He's not the one. And I called him off after the invitations went out, the dresses were there, and God told me no. So sometimes we just got to obey God. Not sometimes, all the time. We have to obey
yes.
God. So I'm telling those that are getting ready to get married, see God, you're going to hear a yes or a no. Don't say, well, God ain't said nothing. You do not want to marry and God ain't said nothing. You want to get an approval or a rejection.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're so appreciative of you coming on and giving with us one. And we're going to ask you, one of you, to pray. And this is deja vu. This is deja vu because last year when you guys were on and I said the same thing and Michelle said, well, my husband said for me to pray, so I'm going to obey my husband. So who's going to pray this year? Which one of you are going to pray? Babe, did you have something else before we end? Did you have something else to say?
No. I'm just thankful for everyone that joined us today. God bless you all.
Oh, we have, my husband was ordained this week. He was ordained as one of the pastors of our church. And just let me know on Facebook. I posted it on Facebook. Just a ministry that is different for us, but God told me when I left Chicago that, in essence, he was going to be doing a new thing in our lives. So, true to form, God has done something totally different for us. But, you know, we're just moving, always, not always willingly, you know, not always willingly, but that's the testimony that I have to give later. But not always willingly, but if we follow the leading of the Lord, we won't make a mistake. We won't make a mistake. And God is faithful to us. And, you know, but he won't override us. If we say no, you know, we're not going to do that, then he just stands back and you know, I'm taking that now. When I try to get someone some advice and they don't take it, I just say, oh, okay, I don't try to force the issue. I'm becoming more like a holy ghost.
Okay.
Okay. You know, but anyway, we thank God for what he's doing in our lives, and keep our ministry up in prayer. Keep us in prayer.
Yes.
That we continue to do the things that God, you know, would have us to do on tonight to do it. We're more than the things that God delivers. He wants us to. So, now, which one of you are going to pray?
Steve, before we pray, he wanted me to actually give the address to the wedding.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, it's going to be at Triangle Christian Center, which is located at 11100 Fellowship Drive, and that is in Raleigh, North Carolina, 27617.
Yeah, I'll pray.
And Steve is going to pray.
We thank God for this moment and this time. So here we go. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this moment and time. And God, we thank you for this broadcast. God, we thank you for what you are doing in the Burns family.
Yes.
God, we ask that you will move mightily in the ministry.
Yes.
God, open doors. God, down walls.
Yes.
And God, create a new way, a new thing.
Yes.
Lord, we reach out not only to them, but God, first we reach out to you, Father, we thank you for your joy. Lord, we thank you for your fear, your peace. God, we thank you for your touch. God, we thank you for your healing.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we thank you for your loving. God, most of all, we thank you for you being God in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Now, God, our mind, give us your mind.
Yes.
Take our understanding and give us your understanding.
Yes.
Take our wisdom and give us your wisdom.
Yes,
God, purge our tongues that we could speak nothing but blessings unto man that is dying everywhere and speak life into their lives.
Yes,
God,
yes,
touch our spirit. God, fill us with your anointing and move mightily in the lives of your people. God, people are going through out there, Lord, and all kinds of situations, and God, you know their situation. And God, you're the only one that understands. Now, God, we ask that your hand of power, your hand of authority, your hand of mighty, your hand of mercy, your hand of healing, your hand of deliverance, your hand of set free, break yokes, set chains, set the captives free. Let the chains fall at the feet that they may see that God lives and his power is authority and his mighty move. The hearts of those who are lonely.
Yes.
We ask that you touch the hearts of them. The ability is speaking in your face.
Yes.
And God, you know what they've been asking for.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask that you touch their hearts.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
God, we say Jesus is Lord. We say that Jesus is Lord. And God, we bless your holy name and your Holy Spirit to move in your people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. We are just so thankful and praying God's blessings on your marriage and just can't wait until next week. I can't wait until next week. So thank you for joining us, everyone that joined us today. Thank you for joining Day Over 10. We're here to give God the glory. We're here to give God the praise. And we invite those that are listening if you're listening on the internet, to just call in and give your testimony. No testimony is too small. No testimony is too big. We're here to give God the praise and the glory. And if you don't have a testimony that you want to share, share the broadcast with other people so that they may call in and give their testimonies. I know Brother Michael, Prophet Michael, actually Lewis, is in California, and if he can, at 5 o'clock in the morning, can get up and join the broadcast, 7 and 8 o'clock is not too early for us to start your day off, hallelujah, with the Lord and giving him praise, and you'll see what God will do for you. I often say, empty out your prayer coffers. So that God can, your praise coffers, so that God can fill them up again. Always give praise and always give honor to God. And you'll see what God will do for you. So you just thank God for our listeners. And again, join us every Saturday at this same number, at this same time, because they overcame. Because we overcame him, who, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we love not, I'm not exactly sure how that goes, but we love not hot honey. Help me out. We love not the world. Let me pull it up on my Bible.
Not the world. The things are in the world.
Okay, amen. Well, Thank you,
Reverend
Steve.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, honey. Yes. Yeah, I think Brother Michael has you. We love not the world nor the things that are in the world.
Yes.
It don't make sense to them or there at O'Hare for them to come south. And then you kind of go back past over here. And I told him
They love not the word of this. They love not their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you can dwell in them. The world, the earth, and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. Hallelujah. So until next week, I'm going to be playing Michael Stanton's Overcome. And love you. Love you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you. Yeah. We love you.
Every day, every day, every day, every day.
Thank you. Little people up to it.